Father in heaven, this morning, as we open your scripture, as we consider counsel from the spirit of prophecy, I just pray, Lord, that you would come upon us, that you would draw us close, and that you would help us to see the blessing that we can receive from these things which we'll discuss this morning. I pray your Holy Spirit would cause us to be stirred, our hearts to be stirred. We would see the importance of things that we will discuss, and Lord, that your Spirit would convict us to make the right decisions and to make the right adjustments in our life to be able to honor you in everything that we do. So we praise your name, Lord. We love you. We claim your righteousness by faith. And we know, Lord, you have such a deep love for us, a love deeper than we can ever even imagine. So we ask your blessing now. We come in Jesus' name. Let all God's people say, amen. Now, if you go to the book of Revelation chapter 11, which we're not going to do right now, but if you go there, you can write it down and read it later. You read about two witnesses that the Bible talks about being killed and laid in the streets, and then they are eventually resurrected, right? And so the Bible talks about them. They, because of the word of their testimony, they are killed, and then they're laid in the streets for 3.5 days, and we've studied this before in our seminars on prophecy. And then they are raised to life and they are called back up to heaven, right? How many of you remember, even in the spring, we studied this in the Revelation, Unlock Revelation series. And many people always ask, who are the two witnesses? And who are they? How many of you know? Tell me if you know. Who are they? It's the Old and New Testament, right? The Bible talks about them. And in the book of Zechariah chapter 4, you can read the whole chapter. We're not going to read it this morning. You can write that down and go home and read it this afternoon. But in Zechariah chapter 4, it speaks about these two witnesses and that stand before two olive trees, or they are two olive trees that stand before the throne of God. And the Bible says that they are the Word of God. And of course, there's two testaments to the Word of God, the Old and the New, right? And so they are the two witnesses, the Old and the New Testament. That's basic understanding. We understand that, right? But the question we want to ask this morning is, who are the two witnesses of the two witnesses? Well, yeah, that's true. You and me, that's a good answer. Not the one I have for today, but I could preach another sermon on that. Amen? So I have to ask you a question that will help us identify that. What are the two greatest corporate and sacred assemblies? Outside of divine worship, that open God's Word and provide opportunities to study it and understand it better through prayer. Tell me what those two things are, if anybody can guess. Sabbath school, I heard it, and I heard a lot of stuff. What? Prayer meeting. You got it. The two witnesses of the two witnesses. Sabbath school and what, friends? Prayer meeting. Now, this is a new year, so you ought to expect a sermon like this from your pastor. Amen? How many of you would expect that from me, right? You know me. You would expect that. Sabbath school and prayer meeting. Now, I can't find a Bible verse to support that. Actually, I can, kind of a principle-wise, and we'll look at some of that. But Sabbath school and prayer meeting are the two witnesses of the two witnesses. They are the two services that testify that we have as an organized movement of Christians, of believers, that testify of the Word of God. We come to Sabbath school to study the Word of God. We come to prayer meeting to study the Word of God and to pray at both meetings that we may understand the Word of God more thoroughly. In the divine worship service, we are not able to fully break down things as we are in Sabbath school. Amen? So both are essential. So we're going to talk about both of those this morning for just a little bit. And we're going to see the importance of them. We're going to answer a number of questions. Somebody might ask, what is Sabbath school? Well, if you're visiting with us from a Sunday church, it's very similar to what? Sunday school, right? It's where you come together in a classroom type setting to study the Word of God and to do it on a personal level. So Sabbath school is an opportunity for members and guests to come together for the sole purpose of studying the Bible on a personal level. Right now, you're hearing the Word of God proclaimed on a public level. But Sabbath school offers us the opportunity to do it personally, interactively, yes? And it typically precedes the divine worship hour, so it's right before it. Now, Sabbath school has five main purposes. What are the five main purposes of Sabbath school? Number one, spiritual growth, nurture, and discipleship of old and new members. Which kind of members? Old and what? New. That means how many? That means all members, right? Number two, interactive, personal, and deep Bible study that disciples members. So in Sabbath school, in the worship hour, it's very important. Divine worship is very important. But you don't get that personal interaction. You don't get that personal connection, that personal study, right? So you get that in Sabbath school, and it's also interactive. Number three, small group fellowship that nurtures personal relationships. I often find people that say, well, you know, I come to church and I talk to people, but I don't really know them. How many of you ever heard somebody say that? I won't ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you have said that? I just don't feel like I know anybody. I get the and so what Sabbath school does is it gives you the opportunity in a small classroom setting to be able to interact with other believers. Amen? So some people say, well, we have such a big church. You know, it's impersonal. I don't get to know people. Well, Sabbath school is one of many opportunities you have to do that. Amen? Number four, opportunity for local outreach and soul winning. And, you know, this year, each department every month is going to be leading an outreach. And so Sabbath school was actually originally intended for new believers and people that weren't of our faith to come in and be able to learn about our truth and to be able to understand what we believe so that they can give their lives to Christ and follow Him. Amen? So Sabbath school fosters local outreach. And number five, if I can get my thing to work here, gives you an opportunity to participate and support in world mission. How many believe that world mission is important? Supporting our missionaries. We take up offerings in Sabbath school for missionaries. We have sometimes mission spotlight. We have mission projects through Sabbath school. How many of you think that you want to grow spiritually this morning? How many of you think that you want to be nurtured in your faith? How many of you think you need discipleship? Yeah? How many of you think you need interactive personal Bible study? How many of you think you need group fellowship and personal relationships with others? How many of you think you want to do or that we need to have local community outreach? Amen? And we need to support world missions. If you believe in those things that are core truths of Scripture, then you ought to know that Sabbath school is the place for you. Amen, Sabbath school teachers? Amen. So I'm going to say some cutting things in the sermon. I'm just going to let you know ahead of time. So if you don't attend Sabbath school, it could indicate that you think those things are what? Not important. It could. I'll let the Holy Spirit decide for you if it does. I'm not going to judge you. Notice this. I found this little gem, and it is so powerful. A little statement from the Elder's Handbook on page 100. It says, the Sabbath school program is the discipleship heart of the local church. Imagine that. Its aim is to win and train people of all ages as disciples of Jesus Christ. The Sabbath school class, in which members are taught Adventist beliefs and Bible beliefs, is the church's primary program to nurture members. It reinforces new believers in the church and strengthens fellowship in established members. Think about this, friends. If you're coming to church week after week and you're feeling yourself unnurtured, if you say, I don't feel like I have relationships with people, then you probably ought to go where? To Sabbath school. Amen? I have watched our Sabbath school teachers. They do a wonderful job of nurturing and caring for our members. When they're sick in the hospital, I've seen them visit them. They have fellowship meals together. They have wonderful personal interactions. Amen? Sabbath school is the place to be. Now, what is the biblical support for Sabbath school? Deuteronomy chapter 4, I read that for our baby dedication, so I'm not going to reread it to you. But the emphasis there was that God told the children of Israel to teach the commandments of the Lord to their children and to the other people, yes? So teaching is involved. And if you go there to Acts chapter 2, do we do teaching in Sabbath school, yes or no? In the divine service, we do proclamation of the word. In Sabbath school, we do teaching and studying of the word. Go with me to the book of Acts chapter 2, And we're going to take a look at a verse here, Acts chapter 2 and verse 41 and 42. It says, if you're there, say amen. It says, "And then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." And notice what it says here. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers." And so some people say, well, doctrine doesn't really matter. It's not really that important. But apparently, Jesus thought it was important. The apostles thought it was important. The early church thought it was important. And because the Bible talks about it over and over. Amen? So the Bible says that they continued and they studied, they broke bread, and in prayers. And so that sounds a lot like, guess what? Sabbath school. What do you think? Sounds a lot like that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 4, you can write that down and read it later. But Paul says that we should, the truths which we have received, we should commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So there's that word again, teaching. Are you guys awake this morning? Teaching, which is Sabbath. I didn't put this one up there, but in Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about men receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit to be equipped for ministry. And one of those gifts is teaching. So Sabbath school has a very biblical base. So some people ask, well, why should I personally attend Sabbath school? Why should I personally attend? What blessing will I get more than extra sleep? Some people say, well, I don't go to Sabbath school because I like to sleep a little bit later on Sabbath morning. How does it help me, and how does it help others and the church? So you ready? Let's take a look at this. Let's see what it says. What divine influence will Sabbath school have on my life personally? It's a great book called Counsels on Sabbath School Work. And this comes from the page 10 of that book. It says, "The Sabbath school is an important branch of the missionary work, not only because it gives to young and old a knowledge of God's word, but because it awakens in them a love for its sacred truths and a desire to study them for themselves. Above all, it teaches them to regulate their lives by its holy teachings." Think about that. So school does a lot of things for us, doesn't it? It makes us missionaries. It gives us a knowledge of God's word. It gives us a love for the sacred truths of Scripture. And it gives us a desire to study them. It teaches us how, by grace through faith, strength of God, not our own strength, righteous by faith, amen, Doug, how to align our lives with the truths and the principles of the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, amen? So how many of you think by this statement that Sabbath school seems like it ought to be pretty important to us? What do you think this morning? How many of you think that today, yeah? Let's ask another question. How does my individual personal attendance to Sabbath school strengthen the church? Does your personal attendance matter in Sabbath school? Let's see. There are sacred resources entrusted to Sabbath school workers, and the Sabbath school should be the place where, through a living connection with God, men and women, youth and children may be so fitted up that they shall be a strength and a blessing to the church. How many can say amen? You're not sleeping, right? All right. Should help the church on upward and onward as far as it lies in their ability, going from strength to greater what? Greater strength. So does your presence at Sabbath school make a difference to the church, yes or no? It does. Because Christ uses your presence to strengthen the church. The talents that you have, the abilities that God has given you, when you surrender those to use them for the Lord's service, He strengthens you to strengthen the church. I mean, you could say amen. Praise the Lord, yeah? Oh, my goodness. Lord, help us. Some of you are doing what some of you do during Sabbath school time. All right, let's wake up here. How should parents value taking their children to Sabbath school? What do you think? The Sabbath school affords precious opportunities and privileges for the young. Parents should highly prize these advantages and show their children that they appreciate them. If they manifest no decided interest in the school themselves, they cannot expect their children to do so. In the Sabbath school, parents may be learners as well as the children. Both parents and children should seek to have a knowledge of the Scriptures. Other books should be what? Secondary to the Word of God. Secondary. Yeah? Here's another statement. Even greater care should be taken by the parents to see that their children have their Sabbath school lessons. That is, taken to see that their day school lessons are prepared. Their Sabbath school lessons should be learned more perfectly than their lessons in the common schools. You ever thought about that? That means that is math important? Is science important? Is English important? It's important, but what's most important? What's going to fit them for eternity? Now, English, math, and all these things, we need to do them. I'm not saying don't do them. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But what's more important, to prepare them to be successful in this life or to build their characters for the next life? Both are important, but we're told that one is more important. Amen? You understand? So don't misunderstand that I'm not saying that the other is not important, but this is most important. If parents and children see no necessity for this interest, then the children might better remain at home, for the Sabbath school will fail to prove a blessing to them. Parents and children should work in harmony with superintendents and teachers, thus giving evidence that they appreciate the labor put forth for them. Parents should take special and the religious education of their children, then they have a more thorough knowledge of the Scriptures. Parents, is Sabbath school important for your kids? It is very important. Over in Europe, they told me that they do not call it Sabbath school. They call it divine service and part two. So the Sabbath school is actually like part of the divine service. Does that make sense? It's just part one and part two. Now I have someone who's going to come up and give just a real quick testimony and about what Sabbath school means to her. So Carmen, if you would just come on up and pulpit mic here. And what a blessing Sabbath school is to her.
Good morning, church family. Sabbath school is part of church. I cannot imagine church without Sabbath school, because it's just part of it. It would be just not complete. I grew up at Seventh-day Adventist, and I always went to Sabbath school. It started in cradle roll, and I went all the way to youth, and then back to the adult Sabbath school. I love Sabbath school. I give you a couple of reasons why. You get to know your brothers and sisters much more as you're sitting in the pew. You can hear different opinions. You study a subject all week long, and you maybe haven't understood it. And maybe somebody else was enlightened by the Holy Spirit to explain it to you. And it really lifts, we can lift each other up through this. Sometimes I just sit in Sabbath school class and listen, because I'm just amazed with what other people have gotten out of the same Bible text. I've gotten nothing out of it. There's times we laugh together. There's times we cry together. In the beginning, we collect prayer requests and praises to lift each other up. And we carry, as individuals, we carry each other through the week through prayer. So Sabbath school for me is like a family. I think Sabbath school kept me in church. And I just tell you, if you don't come to Sabbath school, you are missing out.
I mean, say amen. I mean, say praise the Lord. So what reasons do people give for not attending Sabbath school? You tell me. My alarm didn't go off. Okay. What else? Huh? Too tired. Yeah. They say, man, it's my Sabbath. I want to sleep. But it doesn't say anywhere in the Bible that the Sabbath is our Sabbath or my Sabbath. It says it's whose Sabbath? It's the Sabbath of the Lord. It's the day meant for worship, service, and giving myself to Him, right? And so do you understand? Are you starting to see here? Now, bless your hearts. I love you, church family, and this is why I give you these things. Are you starting to understand the importance of attending Sabbath school rather than sleeping in? What do you think? Because every week you sleep in, Satan robs you. He robs you. You like, it's like going to bed and like leaving your door unlocked and saying, free stuff in my house, just come in and take it while I sleep. That's what you're doing. Satan wants to rob you of the blessings that God wants to get you. Now, I want to make something clear today, very clear. I'm not trying to make anyone feel guilty. I'm not trying to put pressure on you to do something you don't want to do. But I am trying to help you see the blessings that you lose and the blessings that you miss when you allow Satan to rob you of the precious joys and blessings of the Sabbath School Divine Service Part 1. Amen? Is everybody clear on that? All right, look at this. What counsel is given for all my reasons not to attend Sabbath School? Watch this. Same book, Counsel on Sabbath School Work, page 19. It says, parents plead trifling excuses for not interesting themselves in the lessons with their children, and they fail to become conversant with the Scriptures. Fathers as well as mothers excuse themselves from disciplining their own minds. They do not seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, but exalt the temporal above the spiritual and eternal. This forgetfulness of God and neglect of His Word is the example they give their children. What example do you want your kids to have? Which example? Which molds their minds after the worldly standard and not after the exalted standard erected by Christ. Engaged in searching the Scriptures that they may be thoroughly furnished to all good works. When and where can this be better obtained than at the Sabbath School? The blessings, the opposite impact. So what impact does it have on me and my family to not attend Sabbath School? Let's see what it says. I'm just giving you the straight counsel here. It says, it is a sad failure that they are always behind time on Sabbath morning. They are very particular about their own time, but they cannot afford to lose an hour of that. But the Lord's time, the day, only day out of the seven that the Lord claims is His and requires us to devote to Him, quite a portion of this is squandered away by sleeping late. Somebody actually knew this would be a problem in our day and age, didn't they? They wrote about it 100 years ago. In this, they are robbing God. It causes them to be behind in everything. It makes confusion in the family. Now, parents, I'm trying to be gentle and loving here. But if you do not bring your kids to Sabbath school, I'm not trying to rebuke you or judge you, but when you don't bring your kids to Sabbath school, it creates confusion in your family. Confusion. That leads to greater confusion, spiritual confusion. And finally results in the tardiness of the entire family at Sabbath school and perhaps at meeting. The statement continues. And what is the solution for the reasons not to attend Sabbath school? It continues. It says, now why can we not rise early with the birds and offer praise and thanksgiving to God? Is that legalistic? What do you think? No, not at all. Try it, brothers and sisters. Have your preparations all made the day before and come promptly to the Sabbath school and meeting, and talking about divine worship, and you will thereby not only benefit others, but you will reap rich blessings for yourselves. How many of you want rich blessings? How many of you want to be a blessing to someone else? It's so much greater to be a blessing to someone else even than it is to receive the blessings of God yourself. Amen? But we can be a blessing to others. Amen? So, again, benefits of attending Sabbath school. It strengthens my love for God and His Word. How many of you have that experience? Yeah? It disciples me in the truth and builds my character. How many of you think that's a blessing? Yeah? It equips me to be a missionary. It gives me opportunity to be part of a global mission work. It provides me with small group fellowship and study. It strengthens the local church, and it has eternal value in life. How many of you think those are great reasons to come to Sabbath school? Do you think it enough to make the cost to come, to readjust your life in 2017 to be at Sabbath school? Do you think it valuable enough? I don't know. That's up to you. I can't make that decision for you. But you have to ask yourself that question. What should we do? Jesus said, where your treasure is, there also, there your heart also, right? We need to choose today whom we're going to serve, and we need to choose to invest. What do you think this morning? How many of you think that's valuable counsel today? Well, what about the prayer meeting? This one's not quite as long. What about the prayer meeting this morning? The other witness. You can't have one without two, right? Notice this. What exactly is prayer meeting? Prayer meeting is an opportunity for members and guests, these are my own words, to come together for midweek fellowship, midweek prayer time, and Bible study to give us a spiritual boost of encouragement and strength between Sabbaths. How many of you have temptations all week long? How many of you find trials in your life throughout the week? Yes? That midweek prayer meeting is designed to allow you to come together and to have a season of prayer, a season of Bible study, a season of testimonies and uplifting, strengthen us against the enemy's attack on us and our children through the week. Yes? Now, let me just say this before I move on. I want to make this disclaimer. I understand that there's no reason for anybody to miss Sabbath school, but I understand that there are circumstances sometimes that cause people to miss prayer meeting. We have young children. My wife can't attend. My kids got to go to bed. You understand? She has a prayer meeting with them at home. Some people work in the evenings. Some people are sick or whatever. Our community service center folks, bless their hearts. They work so hard over there. I go over there and I have a prayer meeting with them at time, so they don't come to the evening one. But for those of us who don't have any other obligations and we're just deciding to stay at home, this may speak to you. I'm going to give you, you can write these down. I'm not going to do all these, but I am going to go through two of them. If you'll go with me to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. And notice what Jesus says here. Mark chapter 14. And verse 38. Mark 14 and verse 38. Jesus says, watch and what? Pray. And he's talking to two sleeping disciples. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. How many of you, I say this lovingly and in a humorous way, how many of you have thought to yourself on a Wednesday evening, man, I really should go to prayer meeting. But you ended up not going because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? Well, you ever had that experience before? You thought, man, I really should go, and I'm going to go, but the flesh is weak, right? God identifies with this, and that's the exact reason that we should go. Does that make sense? That's the exact reason we should go, because we are weak, because we are in the flesh, and we need that strength. We need that channel of the Holy Spirit to come and touch our hearts, that we may love Him more deeply, and it may be a blessing to us. Amen? Go with me to Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. And verse 1. It says, then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not do what? And not lose heart. In Isaiah 56, God says, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Now let me just say this. Some of you are very faithful attending prayer meeting, and I appreciate that. Some of you just flat out can't come to prayer meeting because you're working or you got some special circumstance. And I understand that. You can have prayer meeting at home. But for those of us who can't attend, do you think if Jesus gives us this counsel, do you think it's a benefit to us to go? What do you think? Yes or no? Do you think that we ought to go? We ought to go. Notice this statement here from the book Steps of Christ. It's a beautiful passage. It says, make every effort to keep between Jesus and your soul. Seek every opportunity to go where prayer is want or able to be made. Those who are really seeking for communion with God will be seen where? At the prayer meeting. Faithful to do their duty in their earnest and anxious to reap all the benefits they can gain. Are there benefits from prayer meeting? What do you think? There are benefits. They will improve every opportunity by placing themselves where they can receive the rays of light from heaven. So how important should I personally view prayer meeting for my own benefit? How important do you think? Very important, yeah? You guys sleeping yet? I'll just keep asking that, and when I don't hear anything, by 3 o'clock, we'll just cut. No, I'm just kidding. We're not too far off. What does the prayer meeting indicate about the church and my own life, the condition. Look at this from a selection of testimony. Prayer meeting will always tell the true interest of the church members in spiritual and eternal things. The prayer meeting is the pulse to the body. It denotes the true spiritual condition of the church. A lifeless, backslidden church has no relish for the prayer meetings. Because when we pray together, we become convicted of sin in our lives, and we are faced with the Savior. But the good news is that when God reveals sin to us in the prayer meeting, personally speaks to our hearts, He's compassionate and loving. And if we confess our sins, He's what? Faithful and just to forgive us. Amen? It's a blessing. I've been in churches where I've had the prayer meeting, and just two little old ladies showed up. Two little old ladies. Visitors. And the question that the visitors asked me was what? Where are your people? I've been asked that question too many times, and it's quite difficult for me to answer it. I don't like answering it. And for the love of God, church family, you shouldn't put me in a position where I should have to answer it as your pastor. Amen? Told you it'd be a little painful this morning, but love me and I love you. Amen? The Lord is with us. Is there a cost to pay in experiencing the spiritual blessings of prayer meeting? Let's ask that question. The conflict in which you have to take an active part is found in your everyday life. Will you not in times of trial lay your desires by the side of the written word and in earnest prayer seek Jesus for counsel? So what has to happen for us to make a commitment to the prayer meeting? We have to do what, friends? Lay aside our what? Our desires. Many declare that it is certainly no harm to go to a concert or fill in the blank with that. That's just what is written here in the 1800s. And neglect the prayer meeting. Soccer game, football game, television program, whatever. Or absent themselves from meetings where God's servants are to declare a message from heaven. It is safe for you to be just where Christ has said He would be. And where is Christ in the prayer meeting? At the prayer meeting. Amen? What do you think this morning? What are reasons people give not to attend? Tired. I'm tired too. What else? I'm busy. It's raining. It's snowing. I'm glad you brought that up because I have a slide here, but I'll mention it now. I'm reading this book right here. It's a great book, Passion, Purpose, and Power. It's stories of the Adventist pioneers. And did you know that they would work all day on the farm, and then they would travel like 5 to 7 miles, sometimes by foot, to go to the prayer meetings? Very interesting. Now, sometimes people say, well, I don't get much out of prayer meeting. I just depends on who's teaching it. And pastor, when you teach, I get, but if someone else, I don't get anything out of it. But here's the thing. Let me ask this. If you're not getting anything out of prayer meeting, with whatever you are replacing that hour with at your home, is that giving you a greater blessing than you would receive at the prayer meeting? You understand what I'm saying here? Whatever you're doing instead of prayer meeting, is that giving you a spiritual renewal? Because if it is, you come talk to me and we'll come to your house and have prayer meeting. Amen? I'll be glad to do that. But think about that, friends. I just mentioned that. If I have taken the time, here's the thing. If I want to get a blessing out of, get a blessing out of Sabbath school, if I want to get a blessing out of divine service, it does not depend on who's leading it. Does that make sense? It does not depend upon who's teaching. It doesn't matter who's preaching that Sabbath morning. It doesn't matter. How do I receive the greatest blessing? It is when I have spent the week myself and allowing God to speak to my heart through my own personal devotions. Are you with me? That's how it happens. What, if I've taken that time to prepare, what spiritual blessing can I expect God to give me? What? Notice what it says. I resolved to give myself unreservedly to the Lord. I commenced there to seek the Lord with all my heart. My mind was in great distress, but at a prayer meeting, I found what? Relief. Oh, how sweet was the peace of mind. Everything seemed changed. Some of you think prayer meeting can be a blessing to you. I'm losing you. Are you awake? Don't perish on me yet. Be awake. Be awake. Be diligent. Amen? Don't repeat Peter, James, and John falling asleep, right? I have another quick testimony from Tim Yorty, who's going to come and talk about prayer meeting. I appreciate Tim because Tim is faithful to prayer meeting every week. I can count on him, and that's why I asked him to share this.
Well, not every week.
Most every week.
Most every week.
Unless there's a problem.
In 2012, God gave me a wake-up call. And I have to tell you, since then, He has given me so many blessings, I can't count them. And I wasn't going to prayer meeting. And then I started later in the summer of 2012, and those blessings multiplied exponentially. And you talk about sleep. The weeks that I don't go to prayer meeting, I don't sleep as well after that. I sleep better when I actually go to prayer meeting. And it's important to me because, first, we don't have a lot of time left. And I think all of you here know that. And the pastor gave us a bunch of references here. The Bible tells us, pray without ceasing. And I don't do that, so I need to continue to learn to do that. And a couple of weeks ago, I gave a quote from First Selected Messages, page 122. Who remembers what it was? Pray more, talk less. So I don't have anything, any better place to go. Like the blessings that Pastor said, if I could find something better to get a better spiritual blessing than be on, that's where I would be. Because I want to be where Jesus is. And I find Jesus is at the prayer meetings.
Amen. Thank you. And certainly Jesus can be everywhere. If you can't be at the prayer meeting, He's with you at home. But don't neglect. How many of you find that you just wrestle with temptation all week? Yeah? I mean, you have it. Why not take advantage of every opportunity you can to overcome that temptation? Amen? That's the point I'm trying to make this morning. So how can I get the greatest blessing out of both Sabbath school and prayer meeting? We're drawing to a close here. Notice this. How can I get the blessing out of both? Before leaving home, go to God in secret prayer. Plead with Him for His blessing, and He who seeth in secret will shall reward thee openly. With your heart softened by the love of Jesus, go to the meeting, Sabbath school or prayer meeting, feeling that you are personally responsible for its success. Think about that. Think to yourself, man, if I'm not there, it's going to break the meeting. That's the mindset that God will give us when we go to Him in prayer. Amen? If but few attend, you should feel under what kind of responsibility? Double responsibility. If there's a there, you think to yourself, man, if I'm not there, that's one less. God wants me to be there. You are in the service of God. Who? You. And should do what you can, and with your talent, tact, and skill, to make His worship interesting. So it's not up to the pastor to make it interesting. It's not up to the person even leading the prayer meeting to make it interesting. It's up to all of us, because all of us are like a little piece of the puzzle. Amen? And we need to be there. What do you think? So, friends, I have a question for you as we close. What were your priorities in 2016? Were they where they should have been? Examine your own hearts this morning. No one's judging you. No one's condemning you. I'm not making you feel bad. I'm just bringing it to your mind, and the Holy Spirit can deal with you as He desires. But what were your priorities in 2016? Some of you were in Pathfinders. On Wednesday night. That's your prayer meeting. You understand? But if you were sitting at home doing nothing when you could have been there, where were your priorities? If your priorities were where they should be, will you deepen them this year? How many of you would deepen them? If your priorities were not where they should be in 2016, now Sabbath school and prayer meeting is just two of many things, Will you make the decision today, by the grace of God, to correct in 2017? Will you make the decision today? How many of you will make that decision today? That when you can, when you're able, by the grace of God, you will feel a personal responsibility to be there for the sake of your soul and others and those who don't know to be there, because Sabbath school and prayer meeting can be a missionary opportunity. We have the 10 days of prayer that's going on right now for the rest of this week and next week through Friday night at 7 to 8 o'clock. I want to encourage you to come. You will receive a blessing. How many of you who have gone have been, it's been a blessing to you, yeah? And then following that, on January 25th, Wednesday night, we're going to begin a new 10-part series during prayer meeting on the parables of Jesus. We're going to talk about end times. We're going to talk about personal character. We're going to talk about practical Christianity. And I want to encourage you, if you can. I'm not trying to lay it on you if you can. I understand people have circumstances. But if you can, commit to it. What should we do today, friends? What should we do? If the Lord is God, do what? Serve Him. Serve Him with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, and with all of our strength. How many of you want to make that decision this morning? Would you make the decision today to choose to invest your family and yourselves and the kingdom of God in 2017? How many of you want to make that decision this morning? Amen? And Jesus, by the grace of God, can make it happen in our lives. And by doing so, it'll transform us. Amen? He's calling us. Let us respond and be faithful. Yeah? Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.